Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your resurrection. And we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would help us and enable us to know this resurrection life. So bless us as we gather for this Easter service, Lord, and open your word and this story afresh to us this morning. We pray, come Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, we all said, amen. I'd invite you all this morning, if you'd like to open up to Luke chapter 24. Our gospel this morning is written by Luke, not one of the 12 apostles. He was a Gentile convert and possibly the only non-Jewish writer in the New Testament. He was a physician and a companion to the apostle Paul. Luke, as well as the other gospel writers, details for us the most remarkable of stories. I ask this morning, as we come for this Easter service and open up and read this account, is there a story for doubters and doers? Is there a story for the devoted, the disappointed, the disinterested, the disenchanted, and the depressed? Is there a uniting story for all of us? Here in our passage, Luke invites us to journey with Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and James's mom as they, in Luke 24 again, go to a tomb. And as we begin this morning, I want to point out something that is conspicuously plain. A tomb is where they bury dead people. And so they are literally walking to a place of death. And what are they doing, you might ask, in the face of death? How are they going to orient their lives now that Jesus has died? They put all their eggs in, might I say, too easy, the Easter basket, with nothing to show for it. At this point in our story, they would more than likely share the sentiment that will be given later in this same chapter from the two travelers. This is in verse 21. When Jesus approaches them on the road to Emmaus, they say, "But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." We all, I believe, to varying degrees, are on a quest for security, purpose, to find hope, and find a sense of life. And how are they going about procuring these things? How are they going to do this now that Jesus is dead? Under the shadow of death, uncertainty, and insecurity, these women are still diligent, devoted, and they are dutiful. Really, what else are they supposed to do? The women go to the tomb this morning with spices. Why? To anoint Jesus' body with aromatic oils in order to offset the odor of death, decay, or decomposition. How much of the human enterprise is an attempt to deny death, to suppress the fact that we are going to die, and the sheer fact that we are heading day by day ever closer to our deaths? Their expectation of coming to the tomb was to find a dead Jesus, because it would seem everything has gone on and has taken its due course from the beginning of time until now. When people die, they are dead. They were coming this morning expecting to find our Lord dead, lifeless. They come to find a corpse. Is this not us as well? What do you mean? As we live under the shadow of eventual death, how do we live our lives? The best thing we can do is go about the duties of our day and try to suppress or ignore the stench of death. Because despite death being natural, we experience it as the most unnatural of things. In her book, A Very Easy Death, atheist philosopher Simone de Beauvoir, writing about her mother's death, writes this: "There is no such thing as a natural death. Nothing that happens to a man is ever natural, since his presence calls the world into question. All men must die, but for every man, his death is an accident, and, even if he knows it and consents to it, an unjustifiable violation." The first part this morning is death. Then we have interruption, and we end with revelation. And so the women go to find a corpse, but today death is not to be found. This is verse 3. They didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. We have an empty tomb, or an extraordinary interruption, an interruption of unprecedented hope. Could it actually be true that someone has defeated death, that the devastation of death is beginning to be undone? Could it be true that a man who said he was the resurrection and the life is actually coming through and making good on what he said? Is resurrection real? What is the natural reaction to this in our text? The women did not find the body of Jesus, and it says they were perplexed. Literally, this word is to not know which way to turn or to be at a loss. We too might be perplexed here, because today we have the most miraculous of things. I don't think you have known anyone who's raised from the dead, do you? Within your sphere of relationships. Here we have testimony, revelation that is saying the most miraculous of things has happened. We would not have otherwise known about it unless it was told to us. It is truly unbelievable, but it is true. There is an empty tomb. You all know a miracle is something that happens outside of the flow of regular human affairs, or an event that would not have happened in the ordinary course of affairs. I know it's loud. I know the kids are in here. It's okay. My wife reminded me. She's like, "Hey, Mike, message needs to be short today." So I'm going fast because the kids are here. So I want to be sensitive. Okay. Again, death is the ordinary course of affairs, but a miracle, something happens beyond nature, meaning nature would not have brought it about. And if a miracle is going to be brought about, it would be brought about by one who stands outside of nature. That would be God Himself. And so the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God, what? Raised Him from the dead, he will be saved. The stone is rolled away. They could not find Jesus, and they were perplexed. This is verses 3 and 4. And out of the tomb, resurrection life has burst and borne forth into the world, recreating individuals, communities, nature, and the very cosmos. N.T. Wright says, when Jesus rose from the dead on Easter morning, he rose as the beginning of the new world that Israel's God had always intended to make. And a new power is let loose in the world, the power to remake what is broken, to heal what was diseased, and restore what was lost. Know this morning, Church of the Good Shepherd, that a power has been let loose, a power that gives life, resurrection life, this new life that will be symbolized and enacted by way of baptisms this very morning. The women go to find death, and instead, they find life. To put a fine point on it, to bring clarity to perplexity, in order to bring wonder and potency to testimony, angels show up to the women, dazzling. The testimony was already stated. The angel said, remember when Jesus told you that he had to suffer and be crucified and he would rise? This is verse 8. And they say, oh yeah, now that you've mentioned it, we do remember him saying something about that. That's my version. It's not actually in the text. The women go to the 11 apostles and tell them what they had witnessed. However, the apostles disbelieved. To them, it was nonsense. They were not willing to be persuaded. The word here means it was an idle tale. It was false. I submit to you in closing that all of these characters represent us to a degree. We live again under the impending weight of death and decay. And here is my question again. Is there a story for doubters and doers, the devoted, the disappointment, the disinterested, the disenchanted, and the depressed? Are there messengers that show up dazzling, giving testimony to something that is true, that someone has defeated death and Jesus has risen? The answer is yes. There is a story, today's story. In the words of C.S. Lewis, "For this is the marriage of heaven and earth, perfect myth and perfect fact, claiming not only our love and our obedience, but also wonder and delight." On Good Friday, a bell of sadness, of mourning, of death rung out. Today, bells of joy and triumph at the beginning of our Easter celebration. The bells toll, the ring of resurrection hope. For centuries, the church has used the sound of bells to awaken hearts, summon worshipers, and proclaim the truth of Christ's triumph over death. So today, we ring bells. And I ask you all this morning, will you see this story, the empty tomb, as the central story of your lives and our lives? Would you see it as dazzling, having the gravity that is glory, to remake us, give us new life, and infuse the world with wonder? And may the magnificent and splendid, wonderful, world-changing event send us, like Peter, verse 12, going away marveling, because by believing, we too have become recipients of resurrection life. A new day has dawned indeed. Amen. Amen.